Thank you, Gary. And again, appreciate the opportunity to share with you today from God's Word. It is always good to be in together and as God's people and share the things that God has laid on our hearts. And I'm so delighted because we're going to continue. And Pastor Steve was so encouraged when I said, you know what I would like to do is just continue in 2 Timothy because I believe in the style that he has chosen in which to teach God's Word in a systematic order. And it causes us to learn and causes us to grapple with things that we a lot of times would not do. So we're going to pick up in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 to 13. That's page 995 in the Black Bible. If you need to use those, you're welcome to do that. Amen. I appreciate it to be in the presence of the Lord this morning. I mean, we're always in the presence of the Lord, but something happens in corporate, and Christy, thank you so much. Something happens when we just stay in the presence of the Lord together. There's a renewed and there's a different dynamic that happens corporately that does not happen when we're just at home in front of the TV or in our prayer closets. Amen. Amen. My title this morning is How to Survive Life. And I changed this. I was talking to my foster son, Brandon. He was there sitting with me as I was preparing. And I changed this title a number of times. And I said, you know what? What's frustrating as a pastor, as a preacher? You spend so much time on a title. And, you know, all of us will leave. We probably don't know what the title is when we left. And I forget. And it's one of those things that you spend so much time and just to get it right. And I don't like the word survive. You know, we're overcomers, right? We are, hey, you know, sometimes it's survival. It is. So this is what Paul is talking about to Timothy. And remember, we've been encouraged last week. It was about, hey, don't be ashamed. Don't be ashamed. You have things and you have giftings. Stir it up. Fan the flame. You have things going on in your life that you need. You need Timothy just to hang in there and survive through these times. And you will see that God will at the end receive glory from all that he has invested in your life. And so I'm going to read this and then share a couple of personal stories that I think we will enjoy. Paul, the apostle of Jesus Christ, let's see, chapter 2. You then, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, and the things you have heard me say in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to reliable men who will also be qualified to teach others. Endure hardships with us like a good soldier in Christ Jesus. No one serving as a soldier gets involved in civilian affairs. He wants to please his commanding officer. Similarly, if anyone competes as an athlete, he does not receive the victor's crown unless he competes according to the rules. The hardworking farmer should be the first to receive a share of the crop. Reflect on what I'm saying, for the Lord will give you insight into all of this. Remember, Jesus Christ, raised from the dead, descended from David, this is my gospel for which I am suffering even to the point of being chained like a criminal. But God's word is not chained. Amen. Therefore, I endure everything for the sake of the elect, that they too may obtain the salvation that is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. Here's a trustworthy saying. If we died with him, we will also live with him. If we endure, we will also reign with him. If we disown him, he will disown us. If we are faithless, he will remain faithful, for he cannot disown himself. How many of you are fans of that survival show that's going on? A lot of you like that. I watched it occasionally, but it makes me uncomfortable sometimes. What is he going to do? And then I remind myself, he has a whole crew, and who knows, it's a TV show, it's not real life, Does he really sleep on that hammock, or do they have a cot and a little tent? I don't know, but it's fun to think about. And then they really bumped it up. And what caught my interest recently is this survival couple, the man and the wife. You seen that? He has everything. You know, he knows how to do everything. You know, and you know, the one show I watched, because they're always talking about fire. And the woman is always, right, she's always concerned about, I have to make the fire. And the man, he goes out and kills things for the dinner. And she's, why don't they just bring a lighter, right? Because the one time they had a steel wool and a battery. If you could, before you go on a survival trip, think about, what do I need? Steel wool? By the way, do you know where steel wool comes from? Comes from metal sheep. Anyway, just erase that from your minds. Steel wool and a battery. Now, listen, if you can have enough sense in your mind, we're going out surviving in the wilderness for weeks until we are rescued. Can't you remember to bring a lighter or a match? But anyway. My wife and I, when we first got married, we let people talk us into doing things in that vein of survival. And what happens when you, in a relationship, when you're married for a longer time, you just don't do some of those things anymore because you know they didn't work out real well. And one of those times, early on in our marriage, we made friends with a couple, and they were just survivors. They loved adventure. And I says, you know, let's all take the young married couples and we'll go canoeing down the Susquehanna River. Let's all do that. Delaware River, thank you. And, you know, so Deborah and I thought, well, yeah, let's do this together. And we've never been in a canoe. And the other thing that happened with this couple, they had the great ideas and they were really able to sell you on the survival idea. But there was no training or there was no preparation whatsoever. It's like, get in this thing and go. And that was an unfortunate experience because when we hit, we heard them talk about Foul Rift. And they seemed to be charged up about talking about, you know, how we're going to survive this thing. And he says, you know, what you want to do is kneel down in your canoe. And I says, that's not going to be difficult. I'm going to be kneeling, praying anyway. That won't be a problem. And so, you know, we heard Foul Rift. We heard this noise a couple of miles up the river. And it just, you know, just an uneasy feeling. Awful feeling. I don't know. It might even have been fear. But it was not good. And then, you know, so we actually survived Foul Rift. They're the only ones that upset their canoe and were flying around. It was rather amusing. But Deborah and I had some difficulties because I was complaining. She was in the front of the canoe. I was in the back. Now, if anyone knows anything about canoeing, where's the one that steers the canoe sits in the back? I might have known that, but it was much easier to say to her in the front, stop turning that way. We ought to turn that way. And so it was challenging. And needless to say, we've never canoed again, at least like that. So there were other things. There was a skiing story that happened again with this couple that literally gave us nightmares. The only slope was open was the Black Diamond. And, oh, look there, a diamond. How romantic is that? Go on down. One of the things that we did early on in life, because I knew when in high school, I knew she wouldn't pay any attention to me because I was quiet and shy. I still am, by the way. So this is one of the things that won her heart. It was horseback riding. And so she's going to share that story about our adventure in horseback riding.
Yeah, that Black Diamond slope, we knew nothing about skiing. He's saying that's where we could train and experience more slopes so we could learn how to ski. Uh-huh. It was icy. We get off, and just, oh, I went down off the side. It was awful. But anyway, back to the horse story, right? This is romantic. I was so thrilled about going horseback riding with this neat guy from school. It was high school. And he chose the right, he brought two beautiful horses out for us to ride and had them all saddled up. And mine had a heart on his forehead. How romantic. It was just awesome. You know, I was so excited. So I had a lot to learn about horseback riding. Now, unlike our friend who just skied down the slope and said, this is how you do it, he's a good trainer. He was there with me and helped me figure out the horses I was going and learning how to guide this horse that didn't know me, and I didn't know the horse. So there was a bit of a challenge there. And on the way out, I was like, can't we gallop once in a while? You know, I thought this would be really fun. But the horse was not in any mood to gallop until we turned around. And then he started galloping, and I learned something. He told me the horse is on his way home, and he knows it. Mm-hmm. And so we were galloping down the side of the mountain at a good clip, and all of a sudden, my horse decides not to stay on the trail, but to veer off to the left. Now, there's this tree ahead of us with low hanging branches, and the horse had something in mind. He wanted
Shake
to ride
those heavy burdens.
He wanted to arrive at the barn without me. So here comes this branch over top of me. I had to quickly kick my feet out of the stirrups. I'm laying there on the back of the horse with these branches just scraping over me, and I was terrified. I could just see myself mortally wounded on the ground, right? And I got through it. We're on the other side of the tree, and I'm still on the horse's back, and I sat up and looked at my boyfriend, who's sitting there laughing at me. I'm like, that horse just tried to kick me off the back. He said, yeah, you have to tell the horse which way to go. There's this thing about reins. I had to be more forceful with my directions with a horse that knew somebody was on there that didn't know him, you know? And so I had so much to learn. This was so interesting in our relationship as I look at that. And how he could, I learned from a difficult experience, but how he could guide me through learning something about some life experience we shared.
Amen. Thank you. Well, there's a lot of things there concerning surviving life, and some correlations there. But I want to give you three things that Paul is saying that really are important to Timothy in this passage of Scripture. Three things. If you're going to survive life, how to survive life. First of all, he says, be strong in the grace that is in Christ. After he's in chapter one, he's in the first part of the letter. Of course, they didn't have chapters. In that first part of the letter, you know, he says, don't be ashamed. Stir up the gift. Fan the flame. You know, something was imparted to you. There was a deposit made in your life. So, you know, work with this and fan and deal with it. And now he's in this next passage, he's saying, be strong in the grace. What do we tell each other sometimes to be? We say, be strong. When we're facing a difficult situation, when we're in that survival mode, be strong. We should finish that phrase because what we think it means is somehow I have to muster the strength up that I don't have. And if I had it, I wouldn't need to be strong. I would already have that area conquered in my life. So in surviving lives, in life skills, when we say to somebody, be strong, put on the rest of it, be strong in God's grace, in the grace that is in Christ. We don't think about grace as being our strength. Many times in our quest for pleasing God and doing what's right, we leave grace out the back door. It's just, it's something that, well, and this is kind of the way I was trained and grew up in church. It's like, well, if you really can't do this, If you really can't please God by your works, you know, oh, God will somehow, oh, yes, he's got some grace for that. But be careful, don't wear it out. God's an angry God. He'll let it go once or twice. It's like we as parents. We'll let it go once or twice or whatever until it really hits, and then we begin to emotionally get involved and explode. But God is not that way. He has given us grace in Jesus Christ, and that is the reason that every day is a new day. Every day is a day to sing of his goodness and his mercy and his grace, because it's fresh and new for each one of us in every day. And that's why we can sing that song. That's why we can worship him. And so this is what Paul was saying to Timothy. Timothy was being mentored, being encouraged by this older minister, and he says, Timothy, be strong, not in yourself, be strong in God's grace. And God's grace only comes by revelation. It only comes by us being the ones that have the reins of life. And I too want to put a plug in for Bob's class, because it's so helpful for us to understand. It's not about our fleshly ability. It has everything to do with what God has imparted to us in Jesus Christ. And this is the battle. This is the war that we face as Christians, as followers of Jesus. We want so much and so desperately to live this life, to survive, to do what we need to do. And yet we fall short so many times, but it is God's grace. In chapter 1, verse 14, Paul reviews for Timothy, he revisits the... And in verse 1:14, he says, I have been a recipient of God's grace. He talks about his conversion experience, that he was a blasphemer, he was a violent man, he was just a terrible person, and God cared so much that he met him on that road and knocked him off his donkey and began to fill him with his goodness and grace. And Paul said, of the sinners, I'm the chief. There's really no one worse than I. So Timothy, if you can get a hold of this, it will take you in the same way that I have. God's grace was poured out abundantly. So Timothy, be strong. Be strong. And remember what we're going to say when we tell someone to be strong? Be strong in God's, in the grace that's in Christ Jesus. Be strong in his grace. The next thing in verse 2, it says, commit to faithful men. So I've entitled this, this as build a legacy. And that's what our men are learning this week as they're on their retreat this weekend. That's the theme of the weekend. Building or leaving a legacy. How do you do that? It's by impartation to someone else's life. Build a legacy. He says to Timothy, these are important things. And remember, for Paul, these are his final thoughts. These are the things that are important to him. Steve reminded us of that what would we say if we knew this was the last letter I was going to write to someone, the last conversation, what would we say? And this is what is important to him. He said, strong in the grace, don't be ashamed. And now this other thing is to build a legacy. Commit what I've entrusted to you, now you pass it on. And so he's very strong, he's very forthright in this, that we need to build something. We need to have our minds and our eyes opened to, as we survive life, as we walk through life, it's just not about ourselves, but it's about others as well. So we build a legacy. I think it's interesting that Jesus, when he was here, Jesus is the world changer, right? A life changer. There's no one that has come close to him, before him, or after him, or ever will, in terms of being able to create lives and to change lives. How did he do that? It wasn't by a vast marketing strategy. If we wanted to change the world, if we wanted to impact people's lives and to change and give them a better life and give them a hope for the future, if we had to do that, we'd probably pull together many wise minds and have a think tank and then begin this mass worldwide marketing strategy. Jesus didn't do that, did he? He just said, Simon Peter, come on, follow me. Oh, why don't you follow me? And he chose disciples. Do you know that Jesus is still choosing disciples today? The reason we are here today, the reason we are here at City View is because God has chosen you to be his disciple. God has chosen, he has laid his hand upon you, and he said, I have called you. God's ways are higher than ours. It was already mentioned this morning that we limit God. I get so frustrated with my life because I limit him. It's not God's. God is limitless. He is unstoppable, unchangeable. I'm the one that's stoppable. I'm the one that changes and this happens and I have this and I have to think through all those things. But the God we serve, the God that has given us grace in Jesus Christ, will help us build and carry through a legacy. And then the third thing in verse 3, and builds through the rest of that time, the rest of this reading, it says to endure hardships. Endure hardships. And he goes into three things. He has three examples. He lists a soldier, he lists an athlete, and he lists a farmer. Endure hardships. And of course, he was in a very hard and difficult place at this time in his life. But he says, first of all, endure as a soldier. And he says, not someone that's caught in civilian affairs, not someone that's out in the marketplace trying to make a new deal, trying to buy groceries and all those things. A soldier has one thing in mind, and that is what? To fulfill the command that's given him. And so he's saying to Timothy, don't get caught up in all kinds of things. And later on in this chapter, we'll hear about some of the things that he says that is so easily, let's not be caught up in. But he says, Timothy, be a soldier, like a soldier. Don't get caught up in the things that normal people get caught up into. And here's the awesome thing, isn't it, that when God calls us and brings us into his kingdom, We have a new commission. It's called the Great Commission because it's great. It's awesome. It spans our neighborhoods and it spans our communities and goes into the world. This afternoon at 2:30, whatever you can make it, we're again down in Maple Street. It's an expansion of our time and effort. And again, you know, as we... I know Sandy and those of us that plan these things, we come to this day and there's so much that's filled into this weekend. And we often look and say, why do we do this to ourselves? And families and things and circumstances. But we do this because it helps us to expand our vision and take the gospel out of these walls into the streets. Out of right just here, but into other people's lives who are desperate and who need so much the grace of God. So if you can join us today, we'd appreciate that, just to serve some food and be available to pray for people, just be available to fellowship with people. So as a soldier of Jesus Christ, you have a new commission. And the commission is go. Not stay, but go. You have a commission to go and follow Jesus. As an athlete, I just read recently about someone that had trained, and he was representing a college, a very prestigious college, and he was running the race, and they had so much invested in this race. It was a reputation of the school, and halfway through the race, the runner, and he was actually in the lead, he stops, and he just sits down in the middle of the field. And, of course, the team and the coaches and everyone came out, what's wrong, what's wrong, what's wrong? What's happened to you? And the only thing he could say was, "I just don't feel like running." Could you imagine the difficulty that happened from then? Because when you stop running, it's just not about you. Others that are looking to you, your legacy also stops running. And this is what Paul was saying. I'm in prison. I'm enduring some really very difficult things. But Timothy, inside, I am still running. I am still in the race. That's like the little boy that was sent in timeout. And he said, the mother said, go sit down or in that corner there for a while. And he said, "Yes, all right, I will do that." And she asked him a little later, "Well, have you learned your lesson?" He says, "No, I'm sitting down, but in the inside, I'm still standing up." And that's what Paul was doing. God has given us such a wonderful example in the Apostle Paul. He was in prison, chains, shackled, had nothing to do, but yet he had one thing to do, and that was to protect his legacy. And he was writing to Timothy and said, "I'm in chains on the outside, but inside, I'm running the race. Inside, I visualize you, Timothy, a life changer, changing the world, changing people around you, bringing the kingdom into many people's lives." And that's what he said. He says, "I'm in change, but the Word of God is unchanged." You cannot chain the Word of God. It's only you that are chained. And so here's the principle. When you endure hardships for the sake of a good cause, a good prisoner, when you endure persecutions, you know what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5? His manifesto, the Sermon on the Mount, as we call it, talking to his disciples, he says, "Blessed are you when you are persecuted." Blessed. What are we learning in the class previous to this? What happens with when we say bless you in the Jewish culture and custom? Prepare to prosper. So it's prepare to prosper when you are persecuted. When people revile you and speak evil of you, prepare to prosper. Why? Because God's word is not in chains. God's word will continue. And the things that you have spoken with your mouth that are in line with the kingdom of God will bear fruit, and it will receive a crop. And that's what he also refers to the farmer. Isn't it good? Farmer's diligent. He plants. Probably not very many farmers here. I had the opportunity to do some farming when I was growing up. You planted those things and they grew. Now I plant things in my yard. It doesn't grow at all. I'm not sure what the difference is. But we had quite a thriving little farm and garden and those kinds of things. But it's always a reward when you go out there and you pick that first tomato or that first handful of beans or something, and you have a meal, and then you start thinking about selling it or whatever you need to do. And this is what Paul's saying. Timothy, listen to me. Be strong in the grace. Keep God's grace in your life. Be strong in that. Build this legacy. Be reminded of who you're leading, and trust these things into faithful people. But above all, you're going to have to endure some things. You will need to endure some hardships. Remember, a soldier endures, an athlete endures, a farmer endures. But in the end, your life is blessed. In the end, you have something to say and something to give to the Father, who says, "Well done, good and faithful servant." Isn't that what you want to hear? That's what we want to hear. When we see Jesus, "Well done. You fought the fight. You won the race. Well done. Enter into now the fullness of your reward." Oh, for us, as we hear that, as we will hear that, that would be encouraging and be such a blessing. Amen. Run the race. Survive life. You will find life will give back to you abundantly. Amen. Gary?